It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. It is a Saturday morning. Larry Glass at the other microphone, ready to answer your garden questions. And forecast continues to call for some rain today and tonight, but a chance for some morning rain tomorrow. The first part of the week should be fairly nice as we get into the first full week of spring. Highs generally in the 60s, maybe even around 70 by Wednesday. So good week to be out and doing a few things outside. Good morning, Larry.
Charlie, good morning. Good to see you.
Happy to be seen.
Good to hear you in this case.
I'm usually just heard, but occasionally it's nice to be seen.
Yeah. Golly, this is, we're getting ready to be really quite busy.
Yes.
This time of year.
Yes, it is.
We're getting new stuff in. We got some new Baby Jim boxwoods, Baby Jade boxwoods.
Okay.
And the advantage of these is that they don't get big.
Yes.
As the name implies.
So, pretty cool. How small do they stay?
About knee high or so.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. They don't. I've got some winter gems at my house that are 5 feet tall.
Yes.
So, but these the baby gems don't, and the baby jades stay rather small.
That's
so that's good. They got all kinds of new stuff coming out.
Well, the genetics have been busy over the last few years, and now we're getting to reap the benefit. So
exactly.
That's good. Yeah.
And a little bit later on, we'll have some kaleidoscopes and some Dorfio ponds and strawberries, tomatoes, new pottery. We got new potteries in too, and. A few fountains out. So things are starting to trickle in right now. We're kind of hesitant on bringing in stuff too early.
Well, I'm sure you've been doing garden plans all through the colder winter months, and now you're getting a chance to install some of those,
too. We're
doing
a lot of installations right now. We're really busy. We're busy with sod this week, getting some really nice-looking zoysia sod in for some people. So,
good.
So we're just busy as can be.
That's what we would expect you this time of year.
Exactly. Getting the shop all ready for spring and tuning up the sprinkler system and et cetera, et cetera.
So people have probably, most of them are already turned back on around people's homes after you winterized them for the winter.
Not everybody, but some people have. We've had adequate rain, and really the grass isn't growing that much.
No.
But however, if you do want to fertilize your grass, which if you're fertilizing your Bermuda grass, you're kind of wasting your money right now.
I would say just don't.
You don't need to. If anything, you put down the crabgrass control. It looks like from the radar here, we're going to have just enough rain to water that in. It's not quite here yet.
Nope.
But it's just in Osage County right now, looking at this little thing on my little telephone here. We got this radar thing, but it's about in Osage County. So and you can look out the window and kind of follow through with that. So if you do have your crabgrass control, just put the radio on pause and put it down.
That would work.
It would help right now. And fescue grass, trying to fertilize that real good right now. So
okay.
If you do have some fescue grass, trying to put that down. Also, crabgrass control, prime time for crabgrass control. Absolute prime for that.
This is best.
Yeah, last weekend I dethatched or scalped my yard.
Okay, there is a difference.
Just to make it proper.
Yes.
I dethatched it last year. And looking at it, it's fine. It doesn't really need to be dethatched this year. So it's doing just fine as far as that's concerned. I scalped it, so we'll be putting on some crabgrass control. Tomorrow.
Rule of thumb for scalping, and I realize yards are different, but in general, every 2 or 3 years is kind of what you probably recommend?
Yeah, you want to do a thorough dethatch every once in a while, just to prevent the thatch buildup from occurring. Now, thatch buildup is primarily the stolons of the Bermuda grass. The grass blades themselves decompose pretty quickly, but we do have some stoloniferous growth on there that has a very slow rate, if at all, a rate of precipitation. Decomposition. Caught myself on that one. But anyway, so you do want to probably do it. And you look at your grass, and if you pull the grass blades apart at their dormant state right now, and if you can see soil down below there, then chances are you really don't need to do a heavy dethatch, but just a scalping. And you do that primarily for appearance. Really.
Right.
Just so when the grass eventually does come up.
You get all fresh growth. Mm-hmm. You've anything that was kind of stale and tattered looking from the winter, it's gone.
Right, it's sort of like the ornamental grasses, the maiden grass, the pampas grass right now. The pampas grass is starting to grow. So if you do have some pampas grass, you'd want to get after it and get it pruned back. Tell this to Kevin.
Okay.
Going on it. because it is starting to grow.
Yes.
And same with the liriope.
Okay.
Monkey grass, time to cut it back too. And the maiden grass is a little later coming out, so you can probably get away with not having to cut it back quite this weekend. But the pampas grass, I would say you better get after it. Don't cut back your iris at this point.
No, they're
setting their blooms.
Yes, they are.
I did some pruning on some of mine last weekend, and they weren't setting out some flowers, so they should come out pretty good. They were just looking a little ragged, so you might want to refrain from that at this point. Also, when walking through the garden, be aware that the peonies are coming up, if you do have peony plants, that they are coming up, and they're very tender at this point.
You should have already cleared away all of last year's stubble from them.
Exactly. But if they're coming up, just watch where you step. they're red right now. They grow and develop very quickly. So this time next week, the peonies will be about a foot tall.
Okay.
So you just kind of be aware of them at this point. So you don't knock them off.
No.
If you knock off those little eyes, it'll have to send out a new one. It'll take longer and so on. Mm-hmm. So the peonies are coming up. The saucer magnolias are coming out for their annual bloom.
Okay.
And that'll last about a minute and a half, then that'll
shorter if it's raining.
Yeah. And right now the star magnolias are preceding the saucer magnolias in bloom time.
I can always predict rain. Well, I'll say nearly always predict rain because whenever the peonies are in full bloom, there will be a downpour.
Yeah, that usually happens when tornado season kicks in. We'll have some, because they won't bloom for a little while yet.
All the bloom ends up on the ground.
The fruit trees, one of my plum trees is at petal drop right now. Mm-hmm. And another one is at full stage blooms right now. So I'm not doing any spraying on them.
Okay.
So, I was walked by them this morning to check them out and... Oh boy!
Yes,
we're going to have if things go right, we'll have a bumper crop of plums this year.
Good for us.
And the cherry trees are still tight. The beech trees are still kind of tight, but they should have been sprayed when we talked about it last month.
Right.
As far as the peach leaf curl is concerned, you can probably just squeak by right now if you put some copper fungicide.
That was going to be my guess. That marginally effective, but better than not doing it.
Well, it'll be effective, but it's not the proper time. So anyway, you can still get away with it with that right now. Now, on your azaleas, it's almost time to fertilize them, but it is time to do something about the lace bugs. And the imidacloprid on your azaleas will arrest the lace bugs for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to think about doing that to get some of that stuff, and it works pretty good systemically to control them. We used to use Dicystan, and they kind of pulled that from the market. A topical application is difficult because they do move around quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they do draw their food from within the leaf of the plant. So control is rather difficult without a systemic insecticide. Also on your crepe myrtles, we've had some increasing problems with scale on the crepe myrtle plants.
Okay.
And the byproduct of scale is a darkening of the stems. Is that a color press?
Coming in on the office line.
But anyway.
Yeah, I'll let somebody down the hall pick that one up.
And if your crepe myrtles are characteristically darker in color, the stems are darker in color, then chances are you do have scale pretty bad. Now, that is also a byproduct of aphids.
Okay.
Crepe myrtles can get aphids on them too. But look real closely and see if you can see some tiny little specks about the size of a pencil point.
Okay.
That's on this number two pencil, that's about the size of a scale.
Yep.
So get out and sharpen your pencil, and you can tell how big they are. And another thing is a mealybug.
Yes.
Mealybugs usually kind of concur with the scale insects.
Okay.
And they're difficult to control as well. Now, there's a little bit of plus or minus whether or not the imidacloprid works for crepe myrtle scale. In some of our trade journals, they've given different opinions on the effectiveness of it. And I think that all has to do with the dosage and timing. It does take a while for the imidacloprid to be absorbed into the plant.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to get it into the root zone. And that's probably why we need to think about doing that right now.
Okay.
So let's get ahead of the game and don't wait till it happens and control it before it does happen. Now, there are some different varieties, different susceptibilities to crepe myrtles scale, I've noticed too. And some of the more aggressively growing ones, the Sioux variety, S-I-O-U-X.
Okay.
And there are some other other ones that, that grow quite well. They don't get that. So some of the dynamites, I've seen some on dynamite crepe myrtles, some scale on it too. So there's just differing susceptibilities depending on the variety. And typically the lighter colored ones, the pink ones and the white ones, don't get it as bad as the red colored ones for some odd reason.
Interesting.
So if you do have that and you do have some dark stems on your crepe myrtles, that's the dead giveaway that you have. Now the scale insect is kind of invisible. You really don't see it. You say, well, what's the harm? Well, it will draw the juices out of the plant and weaken it to the point where it's really not very productive and not very pretty, and it'll eventually cause decline in the plant and just eventually kill it. So you want to do what you can to control that. So that's happening right now. Or you can plant Nandinas. Nothing bothers them.
Nope, nothing bothers Nandinas at all.
The neem oil is kind of another way to control them, but you have to be persistent with it. So on the crepe myrtles. Mm-hmm. So that's why I kind of like to use the imidacloprid. There's not very many bees that really like crepe myrtles, so I don't think that's going to be an issue with the bee die-off and the use of the imidacloprid. So.
Okay, yeah, we do have to be conscious of our pollinators in general.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How we treat them, how we treat into the plants that they feed on.
And yesterday, I was out in where was I?
I don't know.
Somebody's backyard, and I had a bit of a fight with a hornet. So watch out for those.
Okay.
They're out looking for homes and things. So
interesting.
But it really got after me for some odd reasons. Hmm. But I just kind of flailed my arms at it and hit it a couple times. It went away. But watch out for those hornets. They're seeking right now at this point.
Okay, be aware.
It looked like a nasty one. It was as big as a jumbo jet. It was a nasty one. So watch out for those, too.
Okay. 800-749-5936, the number that gets you on Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. Locally, 918-336-1400. We'll take your phone calls. Listener Participation Radio on the way. Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Ah, the sweet smell of spring is in the air, and if you haven't made it to Green Thumb Nursery yet, now's the time. It's tree planting time, and Green Thumb has a new shipment of trees and shrubs in. Green Thumb has your springtime perennials in stock and ready to plant. Spring is almost here. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, home of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And will be open Sunday in April. Be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Hi, I'm James Hinchcliffe. I'm here to talk to you about the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event, where every Honda has the soul of a race car. But James, how is this a dream event if I'm currently awake? Well, fake person asking me that question, it's called Dream because you can get the Honda of your dreams during this event.
Like the Honda CR-V with 1.9% APR financing and sport mode. Hurry in now.
For great deals, visit your Northeast Oklahoma Honda dealer today.
APR financing offers available for well-qualified buyers. See dealer for financing details.
Oh, 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on to Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning with Larry Glass. Lines are open right now if you'd like to give us a call and get your question in, and you get a great answer. The best one you're going to get over the telephone. What's the vegetable timeline looking for us as far as
vegetables? Consider rotating your crops,
which
you didn't plant last year. Put the tomatoes on the other side of the bed, so on.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually a good practice to do. Hopefully, when your tomatoes were done last summer, you pulled away all the dead vines.
Hopefully.
And threw them out.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have a good hot compost bin.
Yes.
You want to avoid the perpetuation of bacteria and fungal diseases from one year to the other.
If you left some trash sitting around, get rid of it as soon as possible before you plant anything else there?
Trash.
What? Well,
plastic bags, paper cups, what?
remains of that tomato plant.
Old plant. Yeah. Plant remains, yes.
Yeah.
You do want to get rid of that altogether. So, and then rake the ground up and then turn it over again if you didn't do it in October when you should have.
Okay.
Charlie. So.
Yes, sir.
So you might consider putting some beans maybe this year where the tomatoes were and the tomatoes where the beans were, perhaps. Rotate your crops.
All right. And we do have a call. We'll say good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass. How can we help you out this morning?
Are you on consumer calls this morning?
We will be when it starts at 9 o'clock. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And we are here to take your garden lines this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1, and on the Mighty 690 KGGF. And talk with Larry Glass this morning.
Okay, cool season plants like cabbage and broccoli, cauliflower, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is not really the country for that, but you can give it a shot.
Okay.
And carrots, spinach, lettuce, beets, peas can be planted right now.
Okay. All the cool season crops.
Cool season crops can be done at this point right now. It's too early for the tomatoes. We've had several people come in yesterday wanting the tomato plants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit early. When it's cold or cool, like it is or like it's going to be,
yes,
the plants can't take up potassium, and they stagnate their growth. They just sit there. And that makes them susceptible to diseases and things because they're not really growing. And the stems turn characteristically purple.
But
when it gets cold.
Looks interesting, but I probably wouldn't like it.
It's the physiology of the plant doesn't permit the uptake of potassium when the temperature is below 50 degrees or so.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, right now, get the compost in the soil, get the ground ready, get some magnesium sulfate or Epsom salts in there, maybe a little gypsum too.
Mm-hmm.
The gypsum gives you some good calcium in the soil,
okay,
which does help prevent the blossom end rot. And the magnesium sulfate gives some elemental magnesium, which they need, and also some sulfur to help lower the pH a little bit. They do like a slightly acidic soil. And our soil here is not.
It's generally pretty
alkaline.
Yeah.
You have pH of, like ammonia.
Well, maybe not quite that bad.
Real high pH, but anyway, it does tend to be a little bit high. So we want to try to lower that just a little bit. If you haven't had any good luck with your tomatoes in the past, it could be the soil chemistry because your neighbor down the road has good luck with those.
Okay. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you this morning?
Yeah, I was wondering if Larry could give me a little help. I had some good green. I got clover taken take over a little bit in my yard.
Yes.
What's a good thing to spray on it or put on it?
A broadleaf weed control. We'll control that pretty well.
Broadleaf?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It comes in a liquid form?
Yeah, liquid form, or you can use, we have a granular type that's you put down, but it can't rain for 2 days after that, but... But the liquid type will work rather well to control that, yeah.
Okay.
But if you don't mind it, clover actually is a good cover. And a couple years back, they wrote an article about it in the paper about this is the new millennial lawn is clover.
Okay.
Because it does maintain itself real well, and it does
self-perpetuate.
That too. They all do that. They manufacture their own nitrogen. It's a legume. So on the positive side of a clover, it does make pretty good lawn if you don't mind it looking a little weedy. But other than that, some people think it's a big weed, and so
yeah. But go back to his original question. Assuming he doesn't want it, then
yeah, just a broadleaf weed control will control it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you now.
Thank you very much. That sounds fairly easy. Just apply as per the label directions, and you should be in good shape.
Or just call up Kevin. He's got some cows. He can eat it up real quick. That'll get rid of it real quick. He's good sweet milk.
That, yeah. There you go.
And the bees.
Depending on how far he has to transport those cattle.
Yeah. So also in doing your vegetable garden, you might consider doing some companion planting.
Okay.
There's some plants that go with other plants that help keep insects away.
Mm-hmm.
Mint plants, for instance, do a good job of keeping away some insects. And marigolds and things like that.
Marigolds, I know, work fairly well.
They work quite well. Garlic.
Yeah.
Onions and stuff. But some are incompatible with tomatoes, so you might want to find a chart on that. And I know you don't want to plant, what is it with tomatoes you don't want to plant? There's some kind of flower you do not want to have around your tomatoes.
Couldn't say.
But anyway, so consider companion planting if you do have a big issue with bugs and things.
To sounds to me like if they all go well in tomato sauce, they probably would go all well in the garden.
Right. You know. Weeds in the vegetable garden, get yourself a bunch of straw. It uh-huh. works really well. I did that last year on my tomatoes, no weeds.
Great.
Worked quite well.
Okay.
The important thing is to put a heavy layer on it, and it does help hold moisture real well, too, in the soil.
Sure.
And it helps keep down weeds, so straw works really well. Not the prairie hay, but good straw.
Okay.
So if you can find some of that, it's getting a little short supply now, but if you can find it, then you can get some.
You probably wouldn't need more than one bale or two, so chances are...
Well, you'd be surprised how short a bale goes.
Well, it probably would be.
It does. Another way is just use some mulch out of a bag, too. That works pretty well, too.
Yeah.
But straw is a little cheaper.
Yes, I would think it would be. 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on the air for Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning with Larry Glass, and we'll take your phone calls coming up in 2 minutes.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod, Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Hi, Brian Pritchard here at Bartlesville CDJ Ram, where we pride ourselves on being able to get people into the car that fits their family's budget. At Bartlesville Chrysler, we work with dozens of lenders and have such a large inventory, I can assure you we're able to get you financed in something in our lot. Don't waste your time at small, high-finance car lots where you can get taken advantage of. Come on out to our large, well-known dealership with a full-service repair shop. If you're in the market for a new vehicle and want a no-pressure, hassle-free buying experience with the area's largest inventory, make that drive down to Bartlesville CDJ. Check us out at BartlesvilleCDJ.com.
At Peter's True Value in Dewey, it looks a lot like spring. Gardening time is arriving, and Peter's True Value has seed potatoes and onion sets available. Browse their gardening section for tools, seeds, gardening ideas, and more. Get a jump start on your garden and head into Peter's True Value in Dewey. Peter's True Value in Dewey, where they say, start right, start here.
Chloe, put your helmet on.
Okay, Dad.
You work hard to protect your family, but some risks are easy to miss. Mosquito bites can spread germs that cause West Nile virus or Zika virus. Cockroaches leave behind bacteria as well as allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org, a public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Locally 918-336-1400, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. And we were getting that vegetable garden ready to...
Exactly. In principle, though, it is a good idea to put a heavy mulch down. And
okay.
To help keep out the weeds and whatnot. So on your tomatoes, I use a T-post and a sheet panel.
That would
really
work
quite well. They're 16 feet long, or... I think they are, yeah. 16 feet long, these sheet panels are.
Okay.
And they fit real nice in the back of your pickup truck.
That's good.
When you drive them away, they're four or five feet tall, I think, and then you just put them in a half circle in the back of the truck so you can transport them easily. But anyway, and I just wire them to a T-post, and it works just fine to hold up the tomatoes.
Well, that's a good idea.
And I think the zinc in the sheet panel when you have a thunderstorm, they kind of grow a little bit too. So
why not?
Yeah. So anyway, so that's kind of the deal on the vegetables, what to do right now. It's too early for a warm season crop like tomatoes and beans and so on, but you can get your cool stuff in right now.
Is it too early if you're going to start your tomatoes from seeds to start those? Or
no, not really. Not really. I like to plant those about the 1st of May, really, out in the garden.
Yeah.
So if you do want to buy some, if you do get your tomato plants early, you might consider putting them in a bigger container, perhaps, so you can shield them from the cold and then put them out when they're... Well, anyway, we got a caller?
We do. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Larry Glass. How can we help you out today?
Well, good morning. Larry, you were commenting about broccoli not being an ideal crop around here. I'll go along with that. I've tried it a few years, and I actually do pretty good until all of a sudden I start seeing the little broccoli worms on it.
Oh, they're terrible, yeah.
They're terrible. It's almost like the broccoli worm fairy comes by one night and drops a bunch of worms.
I know. I grew some in my yard and threw them in a pot of boiling water, and all these bugs flew to the top. Well, that all went out.
I'm scared if you dunk them in a pot of salted water. Bugs don't like that at all, so they come crawling out. But it's still pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you had.
There is an insecticide, an organic insecticide for that. It's called Bacillus thuringiensis.
Oh yeah,
and it does control them to a point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and it's harmless.
Right. I hadn't thought about that. That's a good idea.
On an ongoing basis. You want to do that. When we sell kale plants in the fall, these ornamental kales, we have to spray them with that stuff all the time. Otherwise, they look like Swiss cheese. But
yeah, I hear you. Okay, well, that's good advice. I hadn't thought about BT, so much obliged for the help, and I'm sure we'll be. Do you sell straw, by the way? You were mentioning straw.
Yeah, we don't really. I know there's a Coles Rental had a little bit of it last week, so.
Okay.
You know where they are crossing the homeland over there on Madison? He had some over there a little while ago.
Great deal. All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, BT, we think of it for, you know, everything from fruit trees to whatever, but I wouldn't have thought of it for broccoli.
BT, you have to be, you know, careful with that also later on in the year, especially when the monarch butterflies are doing their thing. So, because their larvae are susceptible to it.
Sure.
So as are, it controls insects in the larval stage. Now, there is one plant, neem oil, will probably work because neem oil is a life cycle arrester.
Mm-hmm.
So at least they won't go past the larval stage. You'll probably continue to eat your broccoli and get, you know, as big as a barn, you know, these giant caterpillars.
I can't metamorphose.
Oh, no, I'm stuck in this life cycle.
Take us back to some 1950s sci-fi movies. Okay.
Yeah. So that works pretty well to control that. In your lawn right now, we talked about dethatching Bermuda and zoysia grass and fertilizing that fescue grass. The fescue grass is really going to really grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looking a bit gloomy out west, so perhaps get that fertilizer spreader out and get that fescue grass fertilized.
Well, during
I wouldn't waste my money fertilizing Bermuda grass right now.
No, let's let the rain do that for you. Yeah. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. How can we help you out this morning?
Yeah, you talked about straw, and I like to use it for animals and tomatoes, but I have a hard time finding straw in bottles with it. Where do you find straw?
I know that is a difficult thing. Maybe if Kevin Potter's listening, maybe he'll know where to get some.
You mentioned Kohl's had at least some earlier.
They had some.
Kohl's used to have some, last year. And then Walmart brings in once in a while, but they're not very consistent.
Huh. I don't know really where you can get some. At this point, I can look around and see if I can find. We can talk about it next week, maybe. But
okay.
I'll see if
good.
I can find
Thanks.
Some.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, now.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And if Larry can come up with a good source for us, it'll probably be good for that business and for the listeners as well.
Yeah, if we find it, we can stock some, perhaps. But it's a good mulch for your vegetable garden. It decomposes easily and it doesn't have a lot of carbon in it.
Yeah. But the appearance generally is good throughout the season. So it,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, in the vegetable garden, it's fine, yeah. Now, you can shred it and use it in your planter beds.
Right.
And it looks like mulch, but it doesn't last very long
because
it decomposes quickly. So, anyway, dethatch your Bermuda grass and your zoysia, fertilize your fescue grass at this point. You can use a weed and feed on your fescue grass at this point. It's a little too late for Roundup, probably, on your Bermuda grass. Look at it really closely. There's some areas on the Bermuda grass, especially that which is near the pavement or close to the house,
mm-hmm.
or on the south side of the fence.
It's waking up.
Yeah, starting to wake up. So as soon as you see that green on there, it'll soak that Roundup up and just kill it. So you want to watch real closely right now on that. Out in the open, though, I think we still have time to apply the Roundup on those waskily, wintry weeds.
Okay. Well, I'll leave Elmer Fudd alone and take this call instead. Good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass. How can we help you out this morning?
Atwoods usually has straw.
They got some straw, okay.
A little bit pricey. They have it in the trailer, and so you don't see it, but they usually have it.
Okay. Well, most people's gardens don't need a whole lot, so the price is, if you're buying 100 bales, then I say, yeah, you've got problems here, but I don't, for just a couple of bales, it's still a lot less than mulch or something.
Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you for the input.
Appreciate the call.
All right.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call this morning and some ideas on where to look for the straw.
Yeah, also spraying your weeds for the grass, that time to do that right now, too, because they're really actively growing your cool season weeds, the chickweed and so on. Mm-hmm. I did a Roundup application on my yard back when it was warm in February or January, around there. And it finally took effect on some of it.
Okay.
But it did just a fair job because it wasn't consistently warm.
Right.
Warm. So it did just a fair job on controlling it back then. But right now, it's more consistently warm, and I think you'll have some luck controlling the weeds on your grass if you use some Roundup.
We're still going to see overnight lows in the upper 30s and low 40s, but still that would get you some pretty good control overall.
Exactly. Now, also on the yard, so you want to think ahead and do something about the crabgrass.
Yeah.
Crabgrass is a real pest.
You think?
I know. It gets some of my yard, and the mower just bogs out of sight on that stuff. It just can't deal with crabgrass, so it's difficult to mow the crabgrass. So, unless you mow it like every other day. So, the pre-emergent crabgrass control now is prime time to put that down. It has a three-month lifespan on it. So, this is March, April, essentially it's April. So, April, right. May, and June. Mm-hmm. It should last those 3 months. And if we have a whole lot of rain, it's going to cut off that 90-day lifespan a little bit.
Yeah, take it
so
back.
So you might want to maybe mid to late.
Reapply around Memorial Day.
The 1st of May, first middle of May around there, you might want to reapply it because some of this, it doesn't kill the seeds, all of them, and some of it will come back. I experienced this last year. What is that crabgrass already? I put the stuff down. What? So anyway.
800-749-5936. We'll take your phone calls in just a bit on Green Country Gardener.
The sweet smell of spring is in the air, and if you haven't made it to Green Thumb Nursery yet, now's the time. It's tree planting time, and Green Thumb has a new shipment of trees and shrubs in. Green Thumb has your springtime perennials in stock and ready to plant. Spring is almost here. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nevada Road, home of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And will be open Sunday in April. Be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan.
Do you like to eat?
I do. Do you like to cook?
I'd love to cook.
Do you like trying new recipes?
Yes, that'd be a yes.
The K1 Cooking Extravaganza is the place for you.
That's coming up pretty quick, isn't it?
It's coming up Tuesday, April 2nd.
At the Bartlesville Community Center.
Yes, sir. It's a one-of-a-kind show offering you a chance to see behind the scenes in some of Bartlesville's most popular kitchens.
But you got to have a ticket to go, and you can get your tickets in advance and save money.
That's right, and I will be at the Food Pyramid from 10 to 2 today. So come and get your advanced tickets.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives and communities nationwide, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists? These drugs, such as oxycodone or codeine, can be addictive and are often prescribed after wisdom teeth removal. For many young people, wisdom teeth extraction often represents their first exposure to opioid medications. To help reduce your risk of misuse or the risk for a loved one, if prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days. Using over-the-counter pain relievers, such as a combination of ibuprofen and acetaminophen, and properly disposing of all unused medications. That includes returning drugs to your pharmacy or mixing with water and an unappealing substance, such as cat litter, and putting in the trash. Recovery from opioid addiction requires a whole-person approach, addressing clinical, social, and community influences. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Mm-hmm. 800-749-5936. Locally, 918-336-1400. The telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Plenty of time for your calls this morning with Larry. We've had some good calls, questions, and solutions so far. And
so
you could.
We talked about crabgrass and yeah. all of this stuff. Now, grub worms are a problem.
They are a problem.
They're hard to see, really. We've planted trees for people, and if I find more than, say, 10 mm-hmm. grub worms while we're planting a tree, I'll alert the customer. And yeah. I said, these grub worms are going to come in. They're going to eat the roots on your tree. And you're going to wonder why it died.
And then you're going to invite the moles in to eat
yeah,
grub worms.
Yeah, the moles will eat the grub worms and all that. So it's a constant cycle. So you might want to. If you do have a problem with grass just not being healthy, you might want to dig up a square foot of it or two and just do a population and see.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
You know, grub worms in here.
Really see.
Good morning.
Caller?
Could we do a good morning, caller? You are on the air with Larry Glass. How can we help you out today?
Well, I don't really have a question other than the man that was talking about killing his clover.
Yeah.
I am a bee honey producer, and that clover bees love the clover.
Please oh, yes.
Don't kill the clover, or we're not going to have any bees, because the spray that they spray on the clover will kill bees.
Yes, I know.
I was just hoping maybe he didn't go out and do it, because there's probably a lot of producers down in that Barbersville area that are bee producers
yeah.
and honey producers, and whatever you spray on flower or weed to kill them, it will kill our bees, and we really need our bees.
We
you
do.
Bet.
Absolutely.
That's what I need to tell you. Thank you.
Good point.
Thank you very much for the reminder.
That's the reason why I tell people do not use the imidacloprid on your fruit trees.
Yeah.
For that same reason.
And I think you have put kind of the in parentheses, after the bloom season, if you're going to do it, would be the only time to do it.
You'd use a topical application of yes, for we got a caller.
We do have a caller. Good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass. How can we help you out this morning?
Yes, this is in consumer calls.
Starts at 9 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Yep.
Okay, I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So good.
And again, we'll get to that call in about a half an hour.
Yeah, if you got a borer issue on your fruit trees, you might want to use spinosad.
Uh huh.
And that's actually labeled for borers and tent caterpillars and bagworms.
Okay.
So it's pretty good stuff. It's more potent than you think because it doesn't stink. But,
and you're a poet.
I guess that they made it smell really bad. People think, hey, this stuff works. But it really doesn't have much of an odor. And it's relatively benevolent in the environment. So.
Okay. We have another call, and we'll say good morning, caller. You are on Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. How can we help you out today?
Thank you. I have 3 rows of asparagus. And the Johnson grass is taking it over. What can I do?
There is now you want to do this while the Johnson grass is actively growing, but it's a difficult call, really, because you can use a grass control on that. A grass killer, per se, it selectively kills grasses. Now, you don't want to spray it nilly-willy. You want to be very specific with your application of this on the grass blades itself and not get it into the ground. If you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, and that is using...
And it won't hurt the asparagus?
It won't hurt the asparagus.
There's a protein that's specific to grasses that are not present in other... Yeah,
exactly. It blocks the production of a protein that's present in the Krebs cycle in the grass plants. And this will keep that from...
And what's the name of it?
Just grass killer.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a little bit expensive, and you do need to get a spreader sticker with it when you do get it. But it'll selectively remove it, and be very careful. And any of this stuff that gets in the ground is useless. You need to spray it on the leaves itself. So use a fine mist on a still day to spray your Johnson grass, and then it won't transmit into your asparagus. It'll stay within the plant.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much for that call. And I know that people in the situation where you've got something you're trying to keep, like the asparagus and the grass that you're trying to get rid of, you need those specific solutions.
Exactly, and the plants have a different physiology, and I don't know how they discover this stuff. They were probably trying to find a cure for athlete's foot or something.
It's entirely possible.
Then they dumped it out the back and the grass died. But the other
that's how we've gotten some of our other drugs. They were looking for something else and they found the side effect that, I like the side effect better than what we developed the drug for, you know.
There's a lot more science to it than that, I'm sure.
But I'm sure, yeah.
Anyway, so, okay, we talked about grub worms a little bit and moles, too. Moles can be a bit of a difficulty in people's gardens. Mm-hmm. And there are as many ways to control moles as there are, you know, days out of the year. So
they all work and they all don't
work. Some of them work, some of them don't.
Yeah.
And some people have really good luck with these noisemakers. Mm-hmm. I don't have any moles at all. And some people put them in there and these things don't work.
And if you're going to get one of those, maybe coordinate with your neighbor before you install it.
Castor oil.
Yeah.
Some people have good luck with that. Some people don't. It just depends really on your situation. Dachshunds work very well for mold control.
I hadn't thought about that. They
do quite well.
Yeah.
So if you happen to have a little dachshund, they can control it. But personally, I've had pretty good luck with molds, and I don't know if this is true for everybody, but using urea fertilizer on the yard.
Interesting.
After I do that, they're gone. I don't have them. And then as soon as the urea wears out, it's usually in July, then I don't want to spend the money on the water to water new ones. They come back. Mm-hmm. So. And there's castor oil. Some people swear by the castor oil. And we've had some people bring by stuff that's the craziest doggone stuff to control moles. One of them is one that uses a shotgun cartridge.
Really?
A 22 caliber blank.
We've talked about that one before, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think your neighbors will like the guns firing off in the middle of the night.
Well, fortunately, it is blanks, but yes.
Yeah, so... I imagine there's a lot of blue lights going around after that happens. So.
No doubt. A lot of calls to the police department.
That's kind of an extreme way. So moles are they're mammals, and they move around. They're difficult to control. So you're going to get them no matter what you do. However, you can do what you can to keep them away. Typically, a good, healthy lawn, one that doesn't have a lot of grub worms on it, usually they'll probe around a little bit, then they
move on to greener pasture, so to speak.
Yeah, so... Yeah. So they do say that the garlic oil works pretty well on it, too. But the stuff I mentioned earlier works real well to control them.
Okay.
So there are some solutions. We got some stuff at the nursery. We have a whole section of stuff just for moles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So check it out.
We've got some little worms that are made of mold.
Oh, little poison worms, too. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Castor oil. That's what I couldn't think of. Granulated castor oil.
Okay.
They say that works pretty well. It irritates their little schnoz, and they go on.
Sounds like a good reason to move on to me. 800-749-5936, locally 918-336-1400. We'll take your phone calls on Green Country Gardener coming up in just a bit.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
The sweet smell of spring is in the air, and if you haven't made it to Green Thumb Nursery yet, now's the time. It's tree planting time, and Green Thumb has a new shipment of trees and shrubs in. Green Thumb has your springtime perennials in stock and ready to plant. Spring is almost here. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, home of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And will be open Sunday in April. Be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan.
In Africa, 5-year-old Charu has no choice. She and millions like her must walk miles every day for dirty water. But together, we can end their walk by providing clean water close by. Instead of spending hours walking to get water that makes them sick, girls can be in a classroom that expands their minds. And moms will gain back time to care for their families. Sons and daughters can grow up strong, finally free of sicknesses caused by dirty water. At World Vision, care about clean water runs deep. Deep enough to reach one new person with clean water every 10 seconds. Because every child, every person, everywhere deserves clean water and the chance to rise to their full potential. It's true.
When you just add water, you change a life. Learn more at worldvision.org.
The telephone number to get to you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. And we'll take your phone calls for about the next 7 minutes or so with Larry Glass.
Now's the time to do some pruning when your nandinas are starting to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at them real closely at the very tips. They're starting to put on some growth.
Okay.
Especially on the southern exposure, the western exposure of the house, they're starting to put on some growth. This year, I'm going to cut back my dwarf nandinas real far. They're getting kind of leggy.
Mm-hmm.
And I see an awful lot of dwarf nandinas that have outgrown their welcome, and they need to be cut back.
So now would be prime time to do that.
They look like spindly little palm trees.
Oh, kinda, gee.
Yeah, and they're not really attractive. So, and you say, oh, I'm going to cut all the stuff off, but they'll put on new stuff down below. The new growth will come out.
Yeah, it won't take very long this time of year.
No, it won't take long at all. So if you haven't pruned back your dwarf nandinas in 3 years, then you might want to consider doing that, just so they can look like they're supposed to and be nice little tight little green things.
That's what you bought them for.
About every 3 years you need to do it, which is might take you 20 minutes at the most. It'd take you longer to find the pruning shears than it would be to cut them back.
Probably, depending on the number of nandinas you have.
Exactly. So the time for those. The big nandinas also, cut them back too. If you cut them back now, they will grow and develop, and they'll have more flower blossoms on them for the berry show next winter.
Mm-hmm.
So don't wait till they've really grown out, because they set their blooms real shortly after they start to leaf out. So if you cut them after they start to leaf out, chances are you won't have as many berries on them. And people, in some cases, really like the berries from the nandinas. They're very showy in the winter.
It's a great thing to have about the middle of December. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. How can we help you out today?
Yes, you're talking about using weed killer on lawns. My backyard is awful, even though I fertilize.
Yeah.
So if I use that, will I have dirt, or will the Bermuda grass around?
Yeah, if the Bermuda grass is not growing, you're probably not fertilizing enough, really.
I think that's true. I did not.
Yeah. You fertilize Bermuda grass in May, June, July, and August. And depending on the weather, late August, early September will be the absolute last time. You use like a 10-20-10 then. But, it's a warm season grass, and it's a heavy feeder of nitrogen. So you want to do a slight application of fertilizer at those points.
Okay. So should I not kill my weeds if you
want to get rid of the weeds now, she likely could use Roundup now before the Bermuda starts growing, right?
Yeah, you could probably use Roundup at this point to control the weeds, or a broadleaf weed control will work too.
Okay.
And
will the Bermuda start growing in there? Is my question.
Oh yeah,
it'll
have something to feed on for sure. If it does have something to feed on, it will go ahead and grow rather quickly.
Oh. Okay. All right. Thank you a lot.
And then if we have rain during the summer, if Charlie takes a vacation in June and July, then we'll have rain, so that you can fertilize in the summer.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. No. Yeah. So right now she could use weed killer to get rid of the weeds, and then...
Don't waste your money on fertilizer on Bermuda grass right now, but do spend your money wisely on weed control at this point.
Okay. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. How can we help you out today?
Good morning. Just had a comment about the Roundup, I guess these lawsuits on the Roundup, and I didn't know what your thoughts were on that.
Well, it's like anything. If you expose yourself to too many chocolate chip cookies, you're going to have problems. But the Roundup, I think the main drawback of Roundup is it doesn't smell bad, and people are not afraid to get it on their skin. And they use it kind of indiscriminately on things.
I see. Okay. Well, I've been hearing these things about it, and I noticed that it's still, pretty readily available. So I guess I'm assuming that it's going to stay on the market until they figure out something other.
You look at those ads, and they use the word May in there.
I see.
To me, that indicates that there is no real proof of it, but it's just coincident that this happens.
At this point in time, anyway.
it could be something else that they use. It could be a surfactant that is in the Roundup, perhaps, but the actual glyphosate, probably, which is, I think chemically it's pretty close to antifreeze or something like that. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I'll have to look at the molecule and see what it looks like. But anyway, I've been using it for years, but I make it a point not to get it on my hands. And you wash up very well. But because it doesn't have an odor to it, people tend to lessen the importance of it, if you will. And I think if it did have a rather foul smell, they would be careful not to get it on themselves.
Kind of like diazinon does.
Yeah.
I think you know where he's going, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling.
Yeah, that's again, I would just like I would say on any lawsuit, any criminal arrest, anything else, these are charges yet to be proven. So
right, the word may is used in the advertisements. So, like anything, if it's used properly, I've seen people just dump it on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not the way to use Roundup. It does not work that way. It works through leaf absorption, not through just dumping it on the ground. So be very careful how you use it, as anything else.
And some of these lawsuits, and I haven't read the language, but I've heard people other referring to it. And some of the lawsuits, and we're looking at parts per trillion. We're talking about nearly trace amounts in many cases. So it's yet to be proven. It could be, but again, the jury, so to speak, is still out.
Yeah, and because... people, you buy this stuff that's concentrated, and typically it's formulated for 1 ounce to the gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just take the bottle, pour it in the sprayer, mix it up. That's not the way. You want to make sure not to overdo it. It can have some long-term bad effects on things. So be very careful and mix it up properly. And pick a time when it's not windy. Use a surfactant so it sticks to the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've said over and over again, any Roundup or any grass killer that gets on the ground is no good. So really, a little goes a long way with this stuff. And because it doesn't smell bad, we tend to overuse it. Anyway, Charlie, keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
All right, Larry Glass and Green Country Gardener on a Saturday morning, like you said, coming up 1 week from today.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville. And